House Committee on Revenue for Wednesday, March 25, 2009 will come to order. We have a public hearing this morning on House Bill 2393, and we open that public hearing. Day?
Chair Bonhart, members of the committee, this bill encompasses a lot of sheriff's activities. It's about service fees. It's about legal notices website. It's about challenge to notice of garnishment. And also it's about custody of property seized for forfeiture. In addition to being the chief law enforcement officer for a county, sheriffs perform other functions such as service of summons, subpoenas, and other legal documents in civil and criminal matters. They also serve as legal custodian of seized illegal gambling devices and boats and fishing gear used illegally. This bill changes a number of sheriff service fees and increases fees collectible by sheriff for serving legal documents and performing other civil duties from current 28 to 36, and the fee for serving an additional party at the same address from 15 to 20, and the fee from 47 to 70 for seizure and sale of property pursuant to writ of execution of judgment of restitution or other writ of attachment or execution. And it also increases the fee for conveyance of real property from 15 to 30. And finally, increases the fee for delivery of writ of garnishment from 15 to 25. So it increases various fees. And it also requires establishment and maintenance of website for purposes of posting legal notices relating to writs of execution issued to sheriffs if all sheriffs in this state enter into intergovernment agreement to establish and maintain website. The bill also specifies procedures by which challenges to notice of garnishment issued by state agencies are provided to sheriffs. It requires the law enforcement agency seizing certain property for forfeiture to hold the property rather than to deliver it to the sheriff. This bill makes fee change effective on January 1st, 2010. And also, it changes changes in custody of seized property for forfeiture apply to property seized on or after January 1st, 2010. And together with step measure summary, you have revenue impact statement and also fiscal impact statement.
Okay, good. We have three people who have signed up who want to be heard on this bill: Tammy Wood, John Powell, and Matt Klein. Would you come forward, please? Morning.
Good morning. Chair Barnhart and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tammy Wood. I'm a captain with the Linn County Sheriff's Office. I'm here today representing my sheriff and also the Oregon Sheriffs for Action. House Bill 2393 makes several changes, as the revenue staff had mentioned. The most substantial of that is to sheriff's fees. And we realize that this is an unpopular time to raise fees. However, the last increase to our service fees was for notice process only, and that was 6 years ago. And all the other fees, such as the writ of executions and our mileage, have not increased for the last 23 years. Last fiscal year, Linn County took in a revenue of $137,000. It's all on 10,000 papers that we got for service. The cost to the Linn County citizens for this service was over $500,000 above that to provide the service. Unfortunately, it's not our normal citizens that are benefiting from this. It's businesses such as credit collection agencies, banks, auto loan companies, credit card companies. They're the ones that are utilizing this the most. And I checked last week, 95% of my papers that we received were all from businesses and not from citizens. Our fees are the lowest in the Pacific Northwest. California, Idaho, and Washington all charge between $35 and $45, and that's per person. In Oregon, we have a rather strange fee structure of one fee for two people at the same address. The other states also get to charge return of service fees. They get to charge mileage fees for all mileage. We only get to collect for mileage over 75 miles round trip from the courthouse. And they get to charge notary fees as well, and those are all things that we don't get to charge for. When looking at my budget, when I looked at the expenses compared to the revenue, it cost us closer to $61 to actually serve a paper, and we're currently only receiving $28. And it looks substantial on the paperwork. However, it's only going to bring in Linn County about $45,000 additional dollars per year. I'd like you to keep in mind that a person who sues can get their money back. They must provide for it up front. However, they do get that as awarded and part of their judgment, and they can collect that back. Also, low-income litigants can and do get their fees waived from the courts, so that's not going to be a problem in raising the fees. The indigents will still be able to use the courts. I have attached a table of additional revenue expected from counties who are able to provide me with information. Not all the counties are there because some counties just are unable to get that data out quickly from their system, but I did figure it for all the counties that did provide me with the different kinds of papers that they serve. Again, the other portions of the bill, one would be to establish a website for the sheriffs to advertise their sales. This was originally written into law a few sessions ago, allowing the state court administrator to do that. They have indicated that they do not wish to go forward with that, and so that would change it over to the sheriffs providing that. Under the notice of garnishment, the statutes previously were silent as to how we were to proceed. This language mirrors how we are to proceed under a writ of garnishment. And then with the custody of the property seized, currently any city police agency or state police, if they seize certain property, they turn it over to the sheriff to hold. This just makes the seizing agency the one who has to hold that. I thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today and would be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Why don't we hear from the others and then we'll ask questions.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, my name is Matt Klein. I manage a process serving company in Eugene, Oregon, and I'm currently the current president of the Oregon Association of Process Servers. I appreciate this opportunity to speak on House Bill 2393. In the original bill, the Sheriff's Association asked for a service fee to be raised to $40. And as a process server knowing costs, I feel this is not an unreasonable amount. The Marion County Sheriff's Department conducted a cost study which indicated it was approximately $70 per service. As you just heard Captain Wood testify, Linn County estimates $61 per service.
I'm sorry, say the number one more time.
$61 per service for Linn County. $70 was what Marion County determined. The sheriffs are required by statute to serve these documents. So even though it costs more than $40 to serve these documents, they still are required to do it, which means anything above their fee has to be covered through the rest of their budget. $40 is a very reasonable fee. The amendment that was passed in the Judiciary Committee reduced it to $36. So that means that for every serve they make, $4 has to come out of another budget, another part of the department's budget. So 1,000 serves is $4,000, And those are, that means that some sheriff's offices may have to cut back on services in order to provide the service required by statute. It also changed the sheriffs that originally in their bill asked for $40 for writ of garnishment service or delivery. The amendment dropped that down to $25. Once again, it still costs at least $40 to serve a writ of garnishment. By dropping that to $25, that means for every garn they or writ they serve, they have to take $15 out of another part of the budget to cover those costs. So 1,000 serves of garnishments means $15,000 comes out of another part of the budget. I feel that these reductions have the potential to cost the Oregon taxpayers millions of dollars, as well as the loss of other important services as they have to adjust their budgets and take money from other programs in order to cover this statute-mandated service. I feel restoring the original fee of $40 and including writs of garnishment at $40 will lessen the impact on the Oregon taxpayers, as well as allowing them to continue to provide those other vital services. I thank you for your time.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Powell, representing Oregon's 36 county sheriffs. Mr. Chairman and members, I want to talk about the amendment that was referred to. It came up pretty late in the process in the Judiciary Committee, and we agreed to go ahead and move the bill with that amendment to get the bill moving, because it had double referral. And we're still talking with the Collectors Association, and we'll continue to do that as you have the bill in front of you and as it moves. We'd prefer to keep the bill moving as opposed to holding it too long at this point, because we do have to go through the other side. But we still are talking about a compromise on the fee levels. As was presented, we did agree to a reduction in the increase in the Judiciary Committee, so we'll be working on that. With that, I'll stop and answer any questions. Obviously, there are very few people in the state that understand the civil law and how it is applied, and Tammy is very much an expert in that area, so I would urge you to ask questions if you have them while she's here.
All right. Questions?
Yes, Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would assume that most of this $61 that you estimate is the personnel cost. Is that right?
Chair Barnhart, Representative Riley, a lot of it is personnel costs, but there are also costs for vehicles. We rotate our vehicles in our county about every 4 years. We currently have one that's being ready to rotate out, and it has close to 90,000 miles on it, and it's 3 years old. Another cost is, of course, fuel. We also have paper that we have to expend to process these and get them out. We have mailing that we have to do. So it's, while the wages is a lion's share of it, there's a lot of other costs as well.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to talk a little bit about the website the bill would establish. How would that work? Would that be part of, like, the LEDs accessing LEDs? Would it be a part of that system? I'm curious what it is you're thinking of doing there. Who would access it as far as just civil deputies or regular deputies, that kind of thing? So help me understand that a little bit.
Chair Barnhart, Representative Springer. the website would be put together by the sheriffs through an intergovernmental agreement. They would maintain that, and the people with access would be just the public. The Oregon Law Commission originally put this in the statutes, I think it was two sessions ago, because they had concerns that the current way of us advertising our sales is not bringing in enough folks. For instance, on personal property sales, we just have to post them in three public places throughout the county, and we generally get no one to show up. And with the real property sales, a lot of the foreclosure, trustee foreclosures, are using websites for the public to find those foreclosures, and this would move it not necessarily from the newspaper. They could still advertise in the newspaper, but there's the potential for us to put it on a website and hopefully bring in more bidders.
Follow-up, please.
Yes, please.
So I spent some time many years ago in my pre-mom life, I say, as a deputy sheriff, and occasionally I served some civil papers, so as we referred to them. So I'm thinking about this, and I'm not yet drawing the connection between writs of garnishment and child support papers and the website. So help me with that a little bit, because I know you're talking about the foreclosure and sales on the courthouse steps for real property. What's the connection between these two, or is one the mechanism to fund the other?
Chair Barnhart, Representative Springer. One really has nothing to do with the other. The fees for serving civil process don't really have anything to do with the establishment of the website.
Okay.
Currently, we either take in the papers and go out and serve them, or if we get in an execution, we take that and seize the property, advertise it, and sell it. And as I said, currently, our advertising methods are not bringing in people to our sales. On our own website, once I started posting our sales just on our website, we started seeing more people show up at the sales. And we envision that if it's a statewide, one centrally located website, all the sheriffs will get more participation in the sales. Mm-hmm. But the fee increase is only for the service of the papers, not for the execution of the website.
Thank you.
Representative Pence.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For purposes of the record, it should be clear that my brother is a Malheur County Sheriff, and I've had many occasions to call and ask why my papers weren't being served with appropriate alacrity. I don't know why my corner ignores them. But nonetheless, I do support this bill, and I'm curious about your remark about who actually pays, because for some reason there must have been some thought in the other committee that the $40 was too much, and thus there was a reduction down to the $36. Was there some... I'm a proponent of making those who want the service pay for the service, so I'm unclear on why we would try to shove that cost over to a broader group of people like the county taxpayers. And I know I'm maybe asking you to remember why the reduction, but what was the reason for it? And whichever one of you wants to answer the question.
Yeah, me too.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Vance, again, John Powell representing the sheriffs. The users of the service have to put the money up front, and so it's an issue that they follow and try to keep that at a minimum, even though in many cases those are recoverable, and they do end up recovering those fees. So it's that dynamic from the users, and particularly the collectors, that bring opposition to raising the fees to their ability to pay for the service.
Well, Mr.
Yes,
Chair.
Please. Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's not quite as clear as I would. For me to understand it, is the thought that there are certain local people that are using the service that can't afford it, or explain it again if you would.
Mr. Please. Chair and Representative Benz, no, I don't think it's a matter of necessarily being able to afford it. I think it's a matter of a business expense that they would like to keep to a minimum. And, you know, Captain Wood said, the main users of this service are other businesses. They're not an average Joe on the street. So it's a business cost that they want to keep to a minimum.
So if I understand this correctly, the businesses would like to shift that cost to the taxpayers as opposed to specifically pay it.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Benz, that's indeed what happens, is that it's a subsidized service.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you mentioned that these costs are recoverable in many cases. How does that work?
Answer that, Dan.
Chair Barnhart, Representative Riley. They pay the fee up front, and then once they get a judgment, assuming that they win the judgment, that cost becomes part of the judgment, and when they go to collect, it's recoverable at that time. Now, in some cases, they may not be able to collect right away because the person has no assets.
Or ever.
Mm-hmm. But if they can find the assets, it is potentially recoverable.
I see.
One assumes, I'm going to follow up on that a little bit, one assumes that one of the considerations a creditor makes before suing and asking you to serve papers is whether they think there's a chance of recovery. You don't need to answer that. I think that's pretty obvious. They may guess wrong, of course, and they may in fact not recover in any particular case. I have a couple of other kinds of questions that, if I may. Let me ask you first, how close are you, do you think, or the sheriffs, to actually setting up this legal notices website? Is this something that it does require that there be an intergovernmental agreement for the purpose of establishing and maintaining the website? And so this bill simply allows you to do it. It doesn't require you to do it. What do you think this will happen if this bill passes?
Chair Barnhart, I do think that will happen. I know the sheriffs have spoken about it, and they are interested in doing it.
And how is the cost of the website going to be managed? How is that going to be paid?
Chair Barnhart, I think it will be paid from the, as opposed to the creditor paying $500 or $600 to do an advertisement in the newspaper, they would pay a smaller fee to have it advertised on the website, and that's how they would keep it maintained.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. One of the things I'm asking Dave to do is figure out for us, and he's not going to do it today, but he's going to figure out for us what the fees would be if they kept up with inflation for the last 23 years. So that's something I'm interested in. Let me ask Mr. Klein, given what you said about your employment, it sounds like you're in competition with the sheriff. Is that right?
In a way, I am, yes.
Could you describe that just a little bit?
Well, a civil process server performs this same function. We, by the Oregon Rules of Civil Procedure, it's stated that we can charge whatever the market will bear, a fair, reasonable fee. However, there's a statute that states that the prevailing party can only collect, recover the costs that the sheriff would charge. So there's a bit of a rub with some of our clients as far as if we charge more than the sheriff and then they do win their suit and they're the prevailing party, they can only collect what the sheriff would have charged, and they've paid us more. So it's to our benefit to see the fees raised for the sheriff's department in that matter.
One assumes that that litigant attorneys who use your services must believe that you can do something better or differently, faster or something than the sheriff can.
It's often the case that we're a little more flexible as far as some of our clients. They're very hard to serve, the subjects, and they may know that the guy will be at certain bar at 1 o'clock in the morning, and so it's like making an appointment, whereas the sheriff's office can't really set appointments to serve at specific times or places. So in that matter, yes, we can often expedite a service.
Thank you. Representative Vance?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on your thought there, indeed, it has been our experience in our law firm that private process servers have the ability to effect the service much more rapidly, generally because of lack of folks in the sheriff's office. And I think we can anticipate that that situation will grow worse as budgets are cut and there are fewer folks working for sheriffs. So your services are going to be, as private process servers, become much more necessary if we're going to keep that leg of the process working. So to me, this, Mr. Chairman, is a valuable thing in that sense, because it will hopefully allow businesses to recover from the folks that actually owe the money enough to pay you for doing your job when there's not a sheriff available to do it. Is that correct? I hope.
Yes.
Thank you.
That leads to another. Oh, yes, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I remember back in the early 90s, a bunch of agencies got together and they created this particular, certainly wasn't a website then, this method of bringing their information together. It was fairly informal but very useful. I see it very a lot of parallels to this process here, which sounds like a great idea. And maybe this is too simple of a question, and it's probably maybe not for the panel. Why do we need a statute to allow this? To allow the sheriff's departments, the 36 sheriff's department, to agree to do this collectively.
You're talking about the website?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is a part of the fee increase, but I'm just curious. I'm seeing those, and maybe I'm too far in the weeds. I see these as totally different issues, different issues put in one bill, one of them I don't know belongs in a bill.
Let me comment on that just briefly. I noticed that the relating clause is relating to sheriffs.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, all of these items relate to each other. It is not unusual for the legislature to include several different topics in the same bill. We haven't seen that much yet this session, but it isn't terribly unusual for that to happen. And I think you can ask the witnesses the question about the notice. I'm assuming, and let me ask it and see if this gets to your question. I'm assuming that this section on legal notices website actually changes the statute about what kind of notice is required in order for you to make the notice for sale. In addition to allowing you to set up the website, doesn't it also allow you to use the website in lieu of some other alternatives?
Chair Barnhart, that's correct. The statute now tells us that we must advertise it in the newspaper once a week for 4 successive weeks. This would change that to allow the person to either use the newspaper or to use the website.
Does that get to your question? Your second question about why we need a statute?
Yeah, it does.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair,
yes, please.
John Powell again for the sheriffs. Mr. Chairman, this language was amended in the Judiciary Committee at the request of the Newspaper Publishers Association to clarify that it would be one website and not one in every community. So the likelihood of continuing to advertise in the newspaper would be great. So this would just be a single website that the sheriffs could use. And the main reason for the statutory approach here, and I don't know about the legality of the sheriffs forming a website. I think they would have to have a statutory authority to do it in place of the current requirement to advertise, and the current statute authorized the state court administrator to provide this function, and they didn't want that. It wasn't that they didn't think it was a good idea; they just didn't want to be the administrator of it.
All right, so they haven't actually acted on it at all?
No.
Okay. All right. Representative Springer, did you have some other questions? Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
Chair Barnhart, Representative Springer, if I may comment a little on the website. As a private process server, one of the functions we also do is foreclosure sales on the county courthouse steps. And mm-hmm. It's been my personal experience that we, since the advent of the web, We have seen people from out of state fly in to attend some of these foreclosure sales. So putting it out on the web would definitely be a benefit to the sheriff's auctions. They'd reach a much larger audience.
So you've been doing that?
We at civil process servers often do foreclosure sales on personal property, not the sheriff's auctions on seized property.
But you have been using a website.
Our clients have.
Your clients have, and
yes.
To advertise these sales?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Let me ask a couple more questions. I used to practice law, but it was a long time ago, and I've forgotten, I think, most of what I knew. I shouldn't normally admit that, but I think it's true. If I'm reading the statute correctly, the sheriff collects the fee at the time the materials to be served are delivered to the sheriff.
That's correct.
And the sheriff then has an obligation to make the service, or at least attempt to make the service. Would you describe how that actually works? And I'm thinking particularly about the difficult cases that Mr. Klein was referring to.
Well, Chair Barnhart, the folks, whether it be a law firm, they usually send it to us in the mail. Other people that are doing small claims often drop them off.
Mm-hmm.
The clerks must go through them, make sure that they are they conform to statute. They're issued by the right person. For instance, an attorney can issue a post-judgment garnishment, but only the clerk of the court can issue a pre-judgment garnishment. They then enter the information, package it for service, and it goes out with the deputies. Usually that day, unless it comes in late in the day, in which it'll go out the next day. There are certain papers that come in that we must get out the same day or the day after, such as evictions, restraining orders, those kinds of things. And then, at least in our case, we keep attempting to do the service. We have people that work evenings until 8. We try it until we just can't get the person, whether they've moved and we can't find them. If we do find out that they're like to hang out at a bar at 1 a.m., we may give them to a patrol deputy to go out, but we can't guarantee too much after the 8 o'clock time that we're going to be able to get someone between, say, 8 and 6 in the evening, in which case the private process servers would be a better option for someone who needs to get them during that time at night.
And what happens if you're unable to make a service within a reasonable period of time?
Chair Barnhart, we continue to try, and we exhaust every effort. If the time runs out, for instance, on a subpoena, we return it. Some order to show causes have dates on them that if we don't get them, we return it. And our office at least leaves no stone unturned until we just can't find the person, and then we will make a return to the court. The statutes require that the fees collected stay with the county, not even if we can't find the person.
So you have an obligation to work diligently to make the service, but if you don't, you keep the fee anyway.
Yes.
Thank you. Other questions for this panel? This has been very helpful. I appreciate it very much. Is there anyone else who would like to be heard today? I thought maybe you would. Why don't you two gentlemen come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Jim Markey on behalf of the Oregon Collectors Association. We represent a number of, our group has a large number of collection agencies as members who are heavy users of process servers generally, unfortunately, when it becomes necessary. There are many other businesses who use the sheriff's and private process servers in the service of these papers. I just kind of wanted to clarify, because I felt like maybe some of the members of the committee were under a misconception here. Most of the papers that are served in terms of summons and complaints and writs of garnishment I would say, are served by private process servers. There are any number of companies throughout the state who specialize in serving these papers, and private sector companies who just do this. We've always, and those fees can be whatever they are agreed to between the party wanting the paper served and the company serving the paper. The statute really says that anybody over the age of 21 who is not the plaintiff in the lawsuit can serve these papers. So it could be anybody that serves them, and they could charge anything they want. What the legislature did several sessions ago in this area was to kind of put what I believe they felt was a safeguard in the statute that said when a plaintiff or a party, private party, enters into an agreement with a private process server and pays them to serve a summons and complaint, subpoena, or other document, that in the lawsuit, they can recover their costs, but only up to the amount that the sheriff would have been able to charge under the statute. And we've always had a statutory amount that the sheriff could charge in the statutes. And so it was sort of a safeguard so that somebody wouldn't just enter into some sweetheart agreement to overpay them for serving this paper and then cause the debtor to have to pay that later in the judgment. So that's, I believe, why that's there. The result of that, I believe, in the marketplace has been that the sheriff's fees drive the private market. And if the sheriffs get an increase, private sector companies look at that and say, we're going to raise your prices because, you know, after all, the debtor's going to pay it, so don't worry about it. And we get a lot of pressure to raise in the private sector and with the sheriffs to raise those fees. So the real question is, what is the cost of serving the papers? And you've heard testimony here today that the proponents of this bill believe that it costs them to serve these papers. My members are paying substantially less than that in the private sector for most of this service. And I do have some clients, some members of our association, who wouldn't use anyone but their sheriff. They love their sheriff, and they have a great relationship with their sheriff and the deputies, so they prefer to do business there and have the sheriff serve the papers. Likewise, there are sheriff's offices in some counties who want this business and who tell our folks, yeah, we want to serve your papers. And they're telling them that at this fee of $28. So I suspect there are some sheriff's offices who believe that they can serve these papers at a cost less than $41, because I don't think they'd be soliciting the business if they were losing money on every paper. The other thing that I just wanted to clear up, I think, with respect to writs of garnishment, the fee for a writ of garnishment has always been substantially lower than the fee for a summons and complaint, and the reason for that is that in most cases, not all cases, but in most cases, they're easier to serve. You're serving a business, generally, or a bank. I guess a bank is a business, but you're not out looking for somebody that's hiding. You're not, and oftentimes, like you look at here in Salem, we have private process servers who might serve 10 or 15 writs of garnishment to the state of Oregon at the same location at the same time. And so that becomes profitable at substantially less than it would if you were just serving one paper at that address. So with that, I just wanted to clarify those things, and I certainly don't want anyone to come away with the impression that my clients would want the sheriffs to serve these papers at a loss that would be picked up by the general public or taxpayers. I don't think that's was ever our intent in trying to keep these fees down. So I hope I've clarified some issues and be happy to answer any questions.
Yes, sir. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You said most are served by private companies. Do you know what percentage, how that breaks out in general?
Mr. Chair, Representative Riley, I don't know how that breaks out for the general. I mean, there are a lot of people that use private process servers besides my clients.
Right.
I just know that for my clients, I have a collection agency down in Linn County that wouldn't use anybody but the Albany Sheriff's Office. She loves them, and she just thinks the world of them, and they have a great relationship. I have some folks in Eastern Oregon who routinely use their sheriffs and like the service they get, and couldn't say enough good things about them. In some of those cases, there aren't any private process servers there. But in the Mid-Valley and Portland area, generally speaking, except in the Linn County case, I think most of these folks are using private process servers. And most of my clients pay less than the $28 to private process servers because they negotiate a deal because they're giving them more business. So,
follow up, please.
Yes, please.
I had a follow up. You also talked about the fact that you pay less, and you just said you pay a lot less than the $28. How often do you usually recover the fees that you pay, and how much of it do you usually recover?
Mr. Chair, Representative Riley, that's a good question. I didn't say a lot less. I did say less.
Okay.
Some of our clients are paying. I mean, I sort of just ask around when we were looking at this bill, and frankly, I had the range was between 20 and 25 to 30, and some were 35. So, I mean, some are more, some are less. But I think the probably 60 to 70% of our people might be paying 28 or less, I would say, on a summons and complaint. And I've asked that question of my collection agency folks about what percentage do you recover, and they will never tell me if there's one of their competitors in the room. But I think that you're going to lose generally a minimum of 30%. That you just don't get back, and on the summons and complaint, that would be less on the writ of garnishment, by the way.
Yeah.
You're going to issue a writ of garnishment against in these debtor cases to a bank or credit union, a depository institution where there's an account that has non-exempt funds. Or you're going to issue what's known as a continuing garnishment against wages that lasts for 90 days at a place of employment. And if the guy's working there, you're going to get your cost back. And frankly, the 90-day continuing garnishment was put in as a way to help the debtor because he's only paying this fee once in 90 days rather than having a creditor garnish his wages every payday and having another process fee added on to the debt again. So, I mean, the legislature's made some moves in this area, I think, that have been helpful to consumers with problems.
Were there others down here? I'm not sure. I may have missed a hand. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties, and we also appear in support of House Bill 2393. And I think Captain Wood has pretty well covered the gambit of the rationale and the reasons and justification for the bill. I would mention, though, that the committee had asked about the likelihood of the intergovernmental agreement for the website occurring, and to the extent that the support of the county governing body is an indication of that, I think it's a pretty good sign.
Well, now that I understand how it would be paid for, it seems more likely to me as well. I mean, because it would be paid with money that otherwise would be spent on publication fees, as I understand.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Yes, Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I remembered my question for Mr. Marquis.
It's a good thing he's still there.
Yes.
Almost got out of here.
Yeah, you almost made it. The question was, you know, there was mention that there's ongoing negotiations about the fee, and I was curious about your participation and your view of what's going on in that area.
Mr. Chair, Representative Riley, first let me say that, if I didn't make this clear earlier, the Oregon Collectors Association supports this bill. We support an increase for the sheriffs.
Okay.
And I had conversations with Mr. Powell before the session about this, actually saying you guys should get an increase because you need one, and we recognize that. So then it becomes a question of how much is the increase, when we'd had that discussion and I had indicated that we would support a fee increase, I had sticker shock when I saw the numbers. So we've just been negotiating about those numbers on, I think in terms of the moving from $40-some dollars to $70 on the sale of executions and those, we've said fine. That's a pretty substantial increase, but we've said fine. Moving from the 28 to 40 gave my guys some pause. That's a pretty substantial increase, and so we said, could we get that down a little bit? And we had sort of suggested 36, and the committee, the last committee that we were in, adopted the $36, but with the idea that we were going to continue to talk about that. We were hopeful that we could keep that in that area. And the writ of garnishment issue, we just thought $40 was high, and we had asked to have that lowered. And so those are the only two that we're continuing to discuss, and I have every confidence that we'll arrive at some equitable solution to that in the process.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you very much.
We
appreciate your testimony. Is there anyone else who would like to be heard today on House Bill 2393. Yes, sir. Did you want to add something? Please come, Mr. Klein, please come forward.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, Matt Klein again. I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on the garnishments. Mr. Marquis just stated how easy they can be to serve, and he's correct at that. However, garnishments require a lot more upfront labor-intensive work. They come in packets that have to be separated, collated. Some parts need to be served. Some parts need to be mailed. You have to know exactly what you're doing. If any of it is done incorrectly, the garnishment would be invalid. This can create a huge liability. Private process servers are required by statute to carry errors and omissions insurance, and there's a minimum level set in the statute. Currently, an annual premium for that insurance for a private process server is in the $2,000 a year range. So it shows you how the insurance companies feel that this is a very labor-intensive and very important thing to get right. So even though the back end of a garnishment where you're actually delivering the garnishment is fairly easy, the front end where you have to process the paperwork, do the correct mailings to the correct people, is very labor intensive. Also, he mentioned the fact about the statute being having a safeguard to kind of cap costs so that debtors would not be gouged. A few years ago, the Washington State Process Servers Association lobbied and had the language in the law changed so that there was no longer a tie between the sheriff's fees and what the prevailing party could collect. And their legislature, because they were worried about gouging, capped it at $100. Their statute basically reads that anything from $100 or below will be the fee. If it's above, then the judge can look at it and determine whether it's fair and reasonable. And when gas prices nearly reached $5 a serve, a $100 service wasn't all that unreasonable considering the multiple amount of times you might have to drive great distances to get a paper serve. This statute in Washington has been in effect now for a few years, and as Captain Wood testified in doing surveys of other states, the state of Washington is averaging $35 to $45 a service, not only by the sheriffs but by private process servers. So you can see that the fair market has a big impact on how much a private process server would charge as well. I just wanted to make that clear that this isn't an attempt to gouge debtors or just fatten our pockets.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Klein? Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Is there anyone else who would like to be heard this morning on House Bill 2393? All right. Well, with that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2393. And that's what's on our agenda today, is it not? Yes. All right. So the committee is adjourned until tomorrow.